It's Tuesday of the second week of Lent. Welcome to today's Lentcast. This is Father John Zulsdorf. The Roman station today is Santa Balbina. Saint Balbina was an early Roman saint. Tradition says she was the daughter of a Roman tribune. She is a virgin martyr. According to tradition, when her father was ill, Pope Alexander told Balbina to locate the chains with which St. Peter was bound when he was imprisoned in Rome, and that they would cure her father. Apparently she was successful, and her father was cured. After that, the Feast of the Chains of Peter was celebrated in the Roman Church. Her church is near the Baths of Caracalla by the Aventine Hill, not far from the beginning of the famous Via Appia, and close to both the cisterns of the massive Baths of Caracalla and the Circus Maximus. This was a house church originally, and the present church has elements from the 4th century. It has had some renovations in later centuries. The church is a typical rectangular space with an apse, but the ceiling is not typical. It's not covered with a lowered ornamental cover, but rather the wooden beams are exposed, which is unusual in Rome. You can see here a cathedra and a cosmatesque floor from the 14th century, and there are also frescoes by Pietro Cavallini from the late 13th century. Continued from Meditations Before Mass by Romano Guardini. Even for the sake of speech, we must practice silence. To a large extent, the liturgy consists of words that we address to and receive from God. They must not degenerate into mere talk, which is the fate of all words, even the profoundest and holiest, when they are spoken improperly. In the words of the liturgy, the truth of God and of redeemed man is meant to blaze. In them, the heart of Christ, in whom the Father's love lives, and the hearts of his followers, must find their full expression. Through the liturgical word, our inwardness passes over into the realm of sacred openness, which the congregation and its mystery create before God. Even God's holy mystery, which was entrusted by Christ to his followers when he said, "As often as you shall do these things, in memory of me shall you do them," is renewed through the medium of human words. All this, then, must find room in the words of the liturgy. They must be broad and calm and full of inner knowledge, which they are only when they spring from silence. The importance of silence for the sacred celebration cannot be overstressed. Silence which prepares for it as well as that silence which establishes itself again and again during the ceremony. Silence opens the inner font from which the word rises. Avoiding the cross is the essence of the demonic. When finally our Lord was on the cross, Satan had one last chance to be anti-crucial. Through his agents, he challenged the Lord, "Come down and we will believe." Believe? Sure. In what? The Trinity? Yeah, sure. In the hypostatic union? Yes. That he's the Son of God? Yes. That he made Peter the rock of his church? Certainly. That he will send the Spirit? Sure. That he will rise from the dead? Sure. Anything. Just come down and we will believe. Jesus did not come down. Had he come down, he never would have saved us. It's human to come down. It's divine to hang there. Consider the softness of the church today, the desire to accommodate herself in the world, shrinking away from sacrifice, self-denial. We have today in the Christian world a new dirty word, but it doesn't have four letters. The new dirty word has five. C-R-O-S-S. Christ without the cross? Sure. Anyone will accept that. Fulton Sheen. Thank you for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, God willing, with another Lentcast. In the meantime, please pray for me as I will for you.